Good morning. My name is Ashley, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the NBPE Investor Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star to the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Peter Bentley. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the NBPE Investor Update Call. This is Peter von Lehe, and I'm joined today by my partner, John Boozer. As always, the presentation we will be using today, as well as the other reporting materials for NBPE, can be found on our website, www.nbprivateequitypartners.com. So, turning to the presentation, as all of you know, NBPE is a closed-end investment company providing investors with a diversified exposure to the private equity asset class. And what NBPE seeks to do is provide investors with the opportunity for both capital appreciation and current income through investments in private equity-backed companies, where we benefit from the attractiveness of of private markets and our managers' information and sourcing advantages. Well, we are pleased to report that 2014 was a good year in all of these areas. NBPE had strong investment performance, but also made a number of attractive new investments, which we believe continue to position NBPE's portfolio well for the future. So turning to page two of the presentation, what you can see is in terms of capital appreciation, the NAV per share total return during calendar year 2014 was 16.2%, and importantly, that's higher than what we have previously reported due to additional information that that we have received subsequently. Also, the NAV total return from January of 2014 to February of 2015 was 16.9%. If you look at the share price total return, including dividends, in calendar year 2014, it was 26.9%, and from January of 14 through February of 15 was a very strong 37.6%. Now, we're very proud of the strong performance that we've had over the short term, but also, and we think even more importantly, over the medium and long term as well. We've also continued to produce income for our investors. Our dividend yield is 3.8% on our stock price, or 3.3% on NAV, and our dividend is 132% covered by the income from our income investments. We have a strong balance sheet. Total assets are $886 million. We have a $688.5 million of net asset value and a NAV per share of $14.11, and that's after the 23-cent per share dividend that we paid in February. Now, we've been able to produce these returns by investing in the equity and debt of private equity-backed companies. So currently, 74% of our portfolio, or 92% of our NAV, is invested in direct investments. And as we previously mentioned, we expect this portion of direct investments to continue to increase over time. Our portfolio is currently 35% in direct equity investments, 39% in income investments, and 26% in our legacy fund investment portfolio. Now, you can find more details on NB Alternatives, the manager of NBPE, on page four. And I'm not going to go through all of these details, but importantly, the team at NB Alternatives remains very stable. The business at NB Alternatives continues to grow and have strong investment performance, and most importantly, has continued to be able to use its advantages to generate interesting investment opportunities for NBPE. And John's going to go through some examples of those in a short while. Now, you can find the main tenets of our equity investment strategy on page five. And what is important to note is that in today's market, where we do have higher prices, and I'll talk a little bit about the price levels in a bit, but what we're seeking to do is, in this sort of market environment, take less market-based risk and take more execution risk in our investments. So what does that mean? What we're really looking to do is find opportunities where private equity managers have clear plans for how they're going to add value to portfolio companies, have them execute on those plans in a discrete period of time, sell their portfolio companies, and move on. And we think that's the best way in this sort of market environment to be able to generate strong private equity returns. Page six shows the multiple that the private equity industry as a whole in the U.S. has been paying for companies relative to the market multiples in the public markets in the U.S. And what you can see here is that while consistently private equity firms have paid lower prices than public market multiples, this has become particularly pronounced in recent years, where you have seen an increase in the prices that private equity firms are paying, but not nearly to the same extent that you've seen an increase in the public market multiples. And so what this does very much is it continues to reinforce our desire to take execution risk over market risk in the current environment. Now, the main tenets of our private debt strategy are shown on page seven, and I'm not going to go through these in detail, but rest assured that we continue to focus on the same characteristics in our debt investments that we have been focused on, continue to be able to generate the illiquidity premium and be able to receive the illiquidity premium by our focus on less liquid credits and ones where we have significant information advantages. And we're looking to take advantage of the lower risk profile of private equity-backed opportunities. And those still all very much remain, in our opinion. Now, all of this has allowed us to continue to generate strong investment performance over the short, medium, and long term, as you can see on page nine. And I'm not going to go through each of these numbers one by one, but what we do want to emphasize is that while, in the last 12 months to February, we've had our NAV increased by 13.9%, and our share price total return was 22.3%, what we're particularly proud of is the fact that we've been able to perform not just in the most recent periods, but also consistently over time. And we think that's what's key to a successful private equity program and a successful private equity vehicle like NBPE is that ability to perform over time. Now, one of the reasons why we've had strong total returns is because of our income portfolio and the covered dividend that allows us to pay. And so you can see more details on page 10. Our dividend is currently 132% covered by the cash income from our yielding portfolio. And that has allowed us to pay an annualized dividend of 3.8% on share price or 3.3% on NAV. And that most recently, we paid a dividend of 23 cents a share in February. And that should have been received by investors at the, I believe, the 27th of February. So with all that good news, let's discuss an area where we've been making progress, but we still think there's some room for improvement, which is our discount, which you can see on page 11. So as of the end of February, NBPE traded at a discount of 13.5% relative to NAV. And we presented the analysis that you see here before, but what we look to do is take the 13.5% discount that NBPE traded at and compare that to the relative component parts of NBPE. So what we did then, and we've compared the income portion of our portfolio, which is 39% of our portfolio, which is income investments, comparing those to closed-end income funds, comparing the 35% of our portfolio that's in direct co-investments and direct private equity investments to direct private equity vehicles, and compare the 26% of our portfolio that's in fund investments to the listed fund-to-fund sector. And what we have included historically here is what we call the NBPE peers. We think those are the vehicles in each of those categories which are the best comparables for us. We've also added in what the relative premium or discounts are for the fund universe as a whole for funds of that type. Now, the takeaway from all of this, in our view, is very much that while our discount has narrowed, there still is significant room for a continued narrowing of our discount just to get us to a level where we are at the average of the component parts of NBPE. So now I'd like to hand over to John, who will discuss NBPE's more recent financial performance and, importantly, investment portfolio. John?
Yeah, thanks, Peter. So we're on page 12 of the presentation at this point, and here's the summary balance sheet that we presented each time we've had one of these calls. I'll go down the February 28th, 2015 column. You'll see right next to it the December audited numbers to the right. Obviously, the numbers very similar. But at this point, as we wind down the legacy fund investments, they become a smaller and smaller portion of the overall portfolio at $223 million of value. And the total direct and co-investments are now $634 million out of our total of $857 million of investments. And you see a total net asset value, if you go down a few more spots on the page, of $688 million for the fund as a whole. We've paid out enough dividends of $1.09 that have reduced that from what would have been $741 million had we not paid out dividends. As Peter mentioned earlier, $14.11 after paying the 23-cent dividend at the end of February is our current net asset value per share. So the total return, as you see on the left side of the page, was an increase of 16.2% in 2014, and with these two additional months, 16.9% since the start of last year. As you see on page 13, we continue to be very well diversified by investment type, as I just covered, between equity investments, income investments, and our legacy fund investments. Geographically, we've continued to focus on North America because of what we think is the better risk-return profile, in particular that if our managers do come through on the execution that Peter just talked about, that we'll be rewarded with good returns for the fund. The lower left-hand pie chart shows excellent industry diversification. And on the lower right-hand chart, the year of investment, you'll see if you add up the 2015, 2014, and 2013 investments, they total 55% of our portfolio. And the 2008 and earlier continues to decline now down to 18%. So we're constantly refreshing our portfolio, as you'll see from some of the realizations and that we've had over the last year. If you flip on to page 14, since the outset of NBPE, we've always maintained a focus on having a very strong capital position. Here's our capital position as of February 28th. We have $22 million of cash on the balance sheet and available credit facility of $95 million. So we have total available capital resources of 117.2. We have an adjusted unfunded commitments of 103.6. The adjustment is mostly taking out amounts that are unfunded to funds that are past their investment period. We have excess capital resources of 13.6 above our potential commitments that could be called. So we still are very confident we have a great capital position. If you flip on to page 15, this is illustration in a bar chart form of our very strong realizations and our continuous ability to make new investments as a result of that. You'll see there's each of the first three quarters of last year and then the fourth quarter of last year plus the first 2 months of this year in the final two bars. The left bar in each case is the contributions that we've made into new investments, and the right bar is distributions. The first and strong takeaway from this is if you look at the legend, the lowest part of each bar is the legacy fund investments. You'll see for each of the time periods we have very, very small contributions, but very significant distributions, and those legacy investments also have continuing appreciation in them. By contrast, if you look at both the equity investments and the income investments, the two upper parts of each of the bars, you'll see we have robust new investments and distributions, which we have more detail on the following pages. So if you flip to 16, we'll start at this point going through each of the different types of investments and some of the highlights over the last 14 months, really. So first, we're going to cover equity investments. We've received almost $40 million of distributions from liquidity events during 2014 and 2015. Importantly, on these realization events, from the immediately prior quarter, prior to the announcement of the transaction, we've had an uplift of value of 22%. And you see illustrated here on this page two partial realizations, one from the sale of shares of RAC, which is a provider of breakdown assistance services in the UK, and the other of Sabre, distribution technology solutions for the travel industry. I flip on to page 17, you'll see some the new equity investments discussed. We funded $90.8 million into 18 new equity investments during 2014, and we've done three more additional equity investments of $16.4 million during the start of this year. Two of those new investments are illustrated at the bottom of the page. One is Digital River, which is in the IT area, an end-to-end outsourced commerce payment and marketing solutions company. And then in addition, the NB brand licensing program, where we seek out to identify, acquire, and license consumer brands. A lot of the high-level statistics are then on page 18 for the equity investments. Now you see on the left side, we have $294.2 million in 61 companies, so very well diversified. You see this group of companies grew at a gross IRR of almost 33% during 2014. And if you look at the bottom two items noted on the left page, we've had revenue growth since entry of 27.6% in the buyout portfolio and EBITDA growth of almost 40% in that portfolio. You'll see our top 10 equity investments on the right side of the page, which total 18.2% of MBPE's NAV. Flipping to 19, we have the same sort of presentation on the income investments. You'll see in the notes there that we received $81 million in distributions, including $23.4 million of interest that Peter mentioned earlier, $55.6 million of principal, and $2 million of proceeds from equity securities that came along with these income investments. You'll see an example of a full realization of a specialty drug pharmaceutical company that we had in October of 2014. Page 20 talks about some of the new income investments that we've made. Very active in this over the last 14 months. $186 million funded during 2014 to 24 different investments, and $10.6 million to three new income investments so far this year. You'll see examples of those. CompuWare, provider software solutions. The security is second lien with LIBOR plus 8% cash and 1% floor and 8% OID built into that security. And then Funding Circle, where we fund small balance term business loans. Then there's a large summary of the income investments on page 21. High level, you'll see we have $340 million in 44 investments, had a gross IRR of 16.4% in this portfolio last year. 74% of this portfolio is in floating rate debt, and you see on the right side the top 10 investments. You see the second name there, Blue Coat. Blue Coat is a technology company where we have both a top 10 debt position, but also a top 20 equity position. That recently, in the last couple of days, announced a transaction which will lead to a good realization in both our debt and our equity portfolio, and also reflected a nice part of the uplift that we saw in our valuation as we moved from our original announcement back in early January to the final audited numbers that have been released. So then finally on page 22, the legacy fund investments, we saw earlier on the bar chart, this very significant cash flow that came to us during the last year, $90.3 million of distributions in 2014, another $7.5 million of distributions already this year. And as I said, there continues to be appreciation in these assets with 7.6% gross IRR during 2014. So all parts of the portfolio are performing well, allowing us to have a good performance overall that Peter talked about. So I'll turn it back to Peter, who can help us wrap up here.
Thanks, John. Page 23 shows the share price and NAV performance I mentioned earlier. Importantly, in terms of trading volume of MBP shares, we've had 1.7 million shares traded on exchange year to date. 2015, with an average daily trading volume of over 40,000 shares. And just really in summary, just want to point out, we continue to believe that MBPE offers a compelling investment opportunity. It's very well positioned for the future for both offering investors both capital appreciation and growth from our equity and fund investments, as well as income through our covered dividend, which is supported by the cash yield from our income portfolio, as well as an opportunity for continued narrowing of our discount. So with that, I'd like to open up to any questions that investors may have.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And your first question comes from Bill Calvert with UBS.
Morning. Longer term, what is your goal in terms of allocation of, or I should say percentage of the portfolio that is income-oriented versus equity-oriented?
So what we've said over time is that over a longer-term basis, you know, our best estimate today would be a 60-40 equity to income split. Obviously, that is, but we've also made clear that that can be materially different at different points in time, and we remain open to adapting that based on what's in the best interest of the vehicle. But importantly, we think being able to go where the best opportunities are is something that we value. But 60-40 is sort of our best estimate of where that would likely be over a cycle at the current time.
And second question, if I may, as the fund investments wind, or I should say roll off, is your goal to get out of funds entirely, or is there a certain level at which you'd continue to roll into new funds?
We haven't made a new fund investment for a number of years. I believe it was 2010 was the last time we made a new fund investment. And we would, I'd put it in the never say never category, but it is not our present intention to execute on new third-party fund investments for NBPE. We think that's a perfectly legitimate business, but we think it's in terms of the capital management of NBPE and you know, the way that the market values you know, the various investments, we think that it's in the best interest of NBPE to be focusing on the direct investment opportunities.
Does that impact your ability to make co-investments if you're not investing in the underlying funds?
To be clear, NBPE is not investing into funds, but our manager has a very large business in that area and is a very significant investor into funds. And so we have extensive relationships with I believe it's 300 private equity managers on that basis. So that's something that NBPE can benefit from by having NB Alternatives as its advisor.
Great, Peter. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from Mark Ambrose with Jefferies.
Hi, Peter.
Hi there.
Your level of commitment cover looks very, you know, very sort of robust. I mean, does the current state of the balance sheet reflect, you know, where you want it to be, or is that reflective of the pace of realizations and, I suppose, you know, you waiting for suitable co-investment opportunities?
We have had the issue and you know, the high end issue of having lots of realizations, and so that means always having to find new investment opportunities. We always are looking for those opportunities. As John said, we would look to continue to have a strong balance sheet, but we do think that actually by having less third-party fund investments, as I mentioned for the previous question, it does give us the ability to actually have a higher average investment level than one would have if you had large amounts of unfunded commitments, particularly the third-party funds outstanding. So I think we are in a good position right now, but that's something we're constantly analyzing based upon what are the realizations we expect over the next number of months and years, and also what the investment pace is. So that's something we're constantly looking at and trying to balance those inflows and outflows, and doing that through a combination of one-off investments as well as commitments to the NB programs is how we've been able to manage that up till now, and I would expect us to continue to use those same tools going forward.
Okay, I suppose, do you have a figure in mind for you know, once the transition is complete and you have, you know, say, assuming 40% in yielding investments, 60%
I think the short answer there is we have a lot of thoughts on the topic, but we don't think it's one where there's a single number. So what we're thinking, what we have said is that having an investment level overall that's somewhere between, you know, 110 and maybe 125% is sort of the right investment level. But we're more focused on that than we look at the commitment cover number, but it's not in of itself, we think, a number to manage to. It's more of an output based on views of expected capital calls and realizations as opposed to a number in and of itself to manage to. We are focused more on the investment level.
Thank you.
Again, for any questions, please press star to the number one. And your next question comes from Tom Tremer with Asset Value Investor.
Peter, hi there. Just a quick question for you. In terms of the new investment, I saw a mention on slide 17 of the NB brand licensing program. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, about the rationale behind it and so on?
Sure. It's very much part of that broader theme that we talked about in terms of taking execution risk more than market risk. And in one area, as you know, we very successfully executed on the healthcare credit program a few years ago. That's done very well for NBPE. And one of the things areas that we have been looking at in recent years has been in the brand licensing area. So what we have done is actually we as NB Alternatives, one of the investors in a vehicle to go and actually buy the intellectual property of consumer brands having downside protection. And to be clear, what we're buying is the intellectual property, not operations. Hiring brand licensing executives who know how to acquire those brands but also know how to grow the revenues associated with those. Typically, when a brand would be purchased, it would have 50% or more of the purchase price covered by guaranteed minimum royalties associated with that. And when you build up a portfolio of those, they tend to be more highly valued than any one brand might be on a standalone basis. And there are multiple public companies, for example, in the U.S., they'd execute on this strategy. And so that's what that opportunity is, and it's something that we think is an interesting area, particularly in an area in the market environment where we're in, where overall valuations are high on traditional transactions. That's not to say, by the way, that there's anything wrong with traditional transactions. There's still very good opportunities out there, but this is an area of value that we're seeing in the marketplace today.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Again, for questions, please press star to the number one. There are no further questions at this time.
Great. Well, thank you very much, everyone. As always, please feel free to contact any of us with any further questions or feedback you may have.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.